Friends, humor me as I sing a few lines. I promise I have a theological point to make, and I'm not just missing karaoke. I wouldn't dare sing otherwise before such stellar voices. I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright sunshiny day. It's gonna be a bright sunshiny day. What does it take to see clearly? That's the question I want to ask, hence the song. Few questions matter more. Do we see our partners clearly, or do we see them through the prism of unhealed pain of childhood wounds? What about our children? Do we see them as they are, really are, or through the lens of our unfulfilled hopes and dreams? Is seeing clearly a simple matter, just a matter of opening our eyes? For Johnny Nash, the singer of that song, the capacity to see clearly required transformation. Caught in the grip of pain, he could not see, at least not until the storm clouds were lifted. Kate and I watch a lot of murder mysteries. They are so arresting, pun intended, because they are about how hard it is to see. The truth is often staring at you on the face, and not just you, but also the on-screen detective, but she can't see it. Then a final clue is disclosed, and the picture comes into focus. Now another question. Is there some clue that might enable us to see the world clearly? Something that makes its obscure patterns, its impenetrable mysteries, its inner logic comprehensible? I don't know about you, but I spend so much time bubbling around in the world as though I were trapped in a darkened room in the dead of night, probably with some Legos on the floor, too. I haven't a clue what's going on so much of the time. You feel me? Why is there so much random cruelty? Why am I so impatient and untender to the ones I most love? Why do the lowest rise to the highest positions? Why does the human species seem so dead set on collective ecocide? The world is a bewildering place, and I'm going to need somebody to turn the light on. There is darkness outside me and darkness within that leaves me frightened and at a loss about how to make my way around. Today's readings are about seeing an illuminating light that captures our attention and reorients our lives. Let me focus on our gospel. There, Jesus knows that he's nearing the end. He knows that he will be crucified and says so. Dissidents always seem to know the costs. Bonhoeffer knew, Gandhi knew, King knew, and Jesus knew. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. His words are enigmatic, and his hearers do not understand. I'm not sure we do entirely either. The crowd responds, "We have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" The crowd appears to make good sense. If the Messiah comes, surely he would remain forever. What kind of self-respecting Messiah gets crucified? Not so with our shocking Messiah, who announces that his way of remaining with us will be by being lifted up. A gentle euphemism for a brutal death. What is our Lord saying? And what does he mean when he claims to be the light? Jesus said to them, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of the light." Jesus maintains that his way of living and dying is the light. He is the clue that sheds light on the mystery of existence. And there is not a fraction of difference between the manner of his life and the manner of his death. Both are marked by self-giving love. How did he live? He lived by embracing the poor, the despised, and the rejected, even a centurion's servant. He lived by rejecting every barrier erected between a righteous us and an unrighteous them. He insisted that all are children of one God, occupiers included. How did he die? By confronting Roman brutality in the name of love, by saying plainly that the kingdom of Caesar is not the kingdom of God, by insisting that Pilate and Rome with him must surrender the love of power for the power of love. Kill or be killed. Diminish or be diminished. Tough it out. Don't let your guard down. There's no other way to make it through. That is the desperate wisdom offered by the one Jesus calls the ruler of this world. To be sure, there is a certain prudence in that way of living. The trouble is that living in that guarded and aggressive posture is to be trapped within the confines of a cramped and darkened space, perpetually barricaded against external threat. Truth be told, that is how most of us live. The trouble is that you can't really see when trapped inside fortifications. We lose ourselves, and the world goes missing. We become children of light when we risk venturing out and enter bravely into Christ's way of undefended love. What will we see when we emerge? That every single thing in all creation blazes with the brilliant flame of God, yet is not burned up, and every spot on the earth is holy ground. Amen.